responsibly.
The Sports Addict Radio Network proudly presents The Jerry Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
All right, it's hour two, guys, and we've had a very lively hour one. We'll get to the Atlantic Coast Conference Players of the Week. One of them, Darren Evans, as expected, Virginia Tech football. It's the Jerry Miller Show. It's the best in sports talk radio. Make it bleed, guys. 866-356-ESPN, 866-356-3776. All right, let's go to the phones. They are gushing blood. We'll go to Afton Dave, and then we have CC on deck, guys. Chris Colvin of TechSideline.com. First, Afton Dave. Afton, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, Jerry.
Good afternoon to you, too, sir. What's on your brain today?
Well, you know, Jerry, we talk, you know, as you know, I'm on the same page as you are as far as Al Groh. But the thing I'm just baffled about is how the university administration accepts mediocrity. I mean, when Groh was brought here, he himself sat up in front of the press and the administration and talked about winning ACC championships and about how he was going to recruit well and maybe even hinted at the maybe possible run in a national championship every once in a while. Well, you know, 7-8 years later, where are we? Where is the program? The program is mediocre at best. If you look at his body of work since he's got here, it's just been average or maybe slightly below average. And if you throw in the fact he's 1-6, or is it 1-7 against Virginia Tech?
He's 1-6. It would be 1-7 if they lose this year.
So it's going to be 1-7, no doubt. Many of those games have not even been competitive. It's not like we're playing them tooth and nail and going right down to the wire. I mean, we're getting our rear ends kicked pretty convincingly time in and time out against Tech. He's pretty much lost the state in recruiting. He's alienated a lot of fans. The stadium is, you know, at best, we're 7,000-8,000 shy of capacity every game. And I know a lot of that maybe not on him as much as it was the reseeding. But still, you can't tell me if we had a great team out there, if we had a very competitive team out there, we'd be filling the stadium up regardless of what the ticket prices are. Because you got to remember, it's only 7 games.
Afton Dave, you're exactly right about that. If you put a winner on the football field and you're winning football games, you have sellouts.
You would. And then these people that are using that as a clutch, as a crutch, saying, well, it's the reseeding. Let me tell you, if we had some team that was very competitive, we had a team that was competing for the ACC championship, those fans would be there. They'd pay their $50 or give their annual contribution, no matter what it is, and they'd support the team. The fact that the people weren't there, because most of them just don't care anymore. It's a very uninteresting product. I mean, that's the bottom line, and I'm as much of a Virginia fan as anybody, but I'm looking at the product, and I go home and I watch teams like Texas Tech and Oklahoma play, and I'm thinking, this is almost like watching JV football.
Oh, man.
So my concern is that it's not going to get any better. He's had 8 years, and it's obvious he's doing as well as he can possibly do. And for people that say, well, he's got academics to deal with, well, a lot of other schools do.
But Wake Forest, Vanderbilt.
Obvious. Vanderbilt, Stanford. I mean, they're not top 10 perennial powers, but, you know, we're not. He's not getting the job done. And I'm telling you, if he does not, he obviously he's not going to lose his job. Little Page has already gone out on the limb and said he's going to be back next year. But if Groh retains his son as offensive coordinator, then that to me gives you all the indications that you need to know where he stands, because it's so obvious we need a change in that position. And if he would make that change, I'd be a little more inclined to give him some more time.
But I agree with that. I agree with that. Dave, you said that very well. Let me make this a topic and throw it to CC. Thank you for getting my hamster wheel turning, Afton Dave.
You're welcome.
Good phone. I agree with that. If he makes a change, with the offensive coordinator position, you're probably inclined to give Groh the benefit of the doubt for another year. But do you really think he's going to make a change? Let's bring Chris Coleman in the mix, a smart man who we have big-time respect for in this program. He is the associate editor at TechSideline.com. Here's the scenario, Mr. Coleman, and thank you for joining us, sir. We know Bud Foster wants to be a head coach. We know Virginia is clearly behind when trying to keep pace with Virginia Tech, their rival and in-state brethren. Do you ever see a scenario playing out, sir, where a Bud Foster who wants to be a head coach might get seduced by $1.5 million to go to Virginia? Why that works out for UVA, it weakens the opponent, and it weakens the opponent's key coordinator and key side of the ball defense. On the same time, it improves Bud Foster, who wants to be a head coach, and he can be a head coach in the ACC. Mr. Coleman, do you ever see that playing out?
You know, I think it would probably be a pretty smart hire for Virginia, but at the same time, I'm not sure I really see that happening. If I were Virginia Tech, you know, I wouldn't let it happen. If I thought that was going to happen, I'd go ahead and promise the job to Bud Foster after Beamer retires and say, okay, you can be head coach in waiting. You get a big salary increase right now because you don't want a guy like that going to the in-state competition.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, the associate editor. So, Mr. Coleman, you don't see that happening. Is it A, because you don't see Bud Foster leaving Virginia Tech for UVA because of his loyalty to Coach Beamer, or is it B, you don't see it happening because the athletic department would immediately pony up cash and bring in a Jimbo Fisher scenario with what's going on in Coach Fisher and Coach Bowden at Florida State?
Yeah, you know, I think as far as that's concerned, I really don't see Foster taking that job. I think there's some interest that's been expressed in the past to a certain extent. I'm just not sure he's the right fit there. You know, he just doesn't seem. He's just. Some people are UVA guys, and some guys are Tech guys, and he's a Tech guy. He's
you're
not
saying
a UVA
he's too
guy.
He's too good old boy. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, the associate editor. Foster wants to be a head coach. Are the odds much greater, in your opinion, that it's Clemson, or is Clemson too marquee of a job for a coach that has no head coaching experience?
Yeah, I don't think he has a great shot at Clemson unless, you know, perhaps maybe he's number two on the list and Tennessee steals Clemson's number one target, whoever that may be at this point. I think he'd be a good hire for Clemson, but I do think Bud Foster will be around Blacksburg for one more year.
Why, Mr. Coleman, have they not done a Jimbo Fisher scenario with Bud Foster to ensure that he takes over for Coach Beamer whenever that happens?
You know, I'm not sure on that. I think, you know, if he's still around when Beamer retires, I think he has a good chance of getting the job, and I'd be in favor of giving him the job. But right now, I don't think they see a lot of danger in him leaving right now because he's never been offered a head coaching position, and as far as I know, has never even gotten an interview for one. You know, I think he was fairly interested in the West Virginia job last year, but you know, since he's from Virginia Tech, the West Virginia alums were pretty up in arms about not hiring a Virginia Tech guy. So as far as I know, he hasn't even had an interview for a head coaching job as of yet. So at this point, you know, I'm not sure that there's as much a danger of him leaving as a lot of people think there is.
Is it a safe assumption that maybe Virginia Tech and Weaver realize that Foster is not ready to be a head coach?
You know, that might be it. I think he's as ready as he's going to be. I mean, he's been a defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech for 13 years and almost always has a top 10 defense. I mean, he puts a quality product on the field every single year. You look at this year's Tech defense, which ranks 18th nationally, and that's after losing 8 starters off last year's team, most of which ended up in the NFL. So, I mean, he's a guy who's doing a terrific job, and I don't see how you could be any more ready for a head coaching job if you're a coordinator than Bud Foster is.
Chris Coleman, our guest, a smart man, guys, from TechSideline.com, joins us on Tuesdays. Mr. Coleman, we'll pick up the pace and tempo. The Roanoke Times, the Richmond Times-Dispatch had stories about this wild turkey formation that Steinspring has been brainstorming, and Warrior AG, the sergeant of arms of our family, Mr. Coleman, who's going to call next segment, has this question for you. Is Virginia Tech's wild turkey formation more dangerous with Tyrod Taylor or Sean Glennon?
Well, they've actually been running the wild turkey formation
with
Greg Boone at quarterback. So, you know, I think it's one of those formations where if you had Tyrod Taylor, you could split him out at wide receiver, because if you've got Tyrod Taylor and Greg Boone in the game, you know, when you're in the huddle, you don't know which one's going to play quarterback, and you can't set your personnel as a defensive coordinator. You have to do it on the fly after the offense breaks the huddle. So I think it would be more effective with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. But, you know, I think that's going to be a specialized formation depending on the opponent. Not sure we'll see it as much this week against Miami.
If they beat Miami, is it a lock that they're in Tampa? I know they could still get blocked if Virginia wins out and some other things happen. But in my eyes, if you beat Miami, it's about 75% you go to Tampa.
I agree with that 100%. You know, I don't – Virginia Tech matches up very well with Duke and Virginia, obviously. Virginia just can't play anybody on the road. They show up on the road, and they just look completely lost. You know, you look at Saturday's game. They just showed up, boom, 28-3 at halftime. They had no idea what to do in the first half. Completely unprepared for that road game, just like they are for most other road games. That's why I don't give them much of a chance of coming into Blacksburg and winning.
Let me throw this to you here. Darren Evans goes bananas. School record 253 yards on 32 carries in the 23-13 victory over Maryland. Was that an indicator of Darren Evans? Was that an indicator of an improved offensive line? Or, Mr. Coleman, was that an anomaly?
I don't think it was an anomaly at all. I think it was an indication of Maryland more than anything. I said before the game, I was telling you, I don't think their defensive line is particularly good, and Tech's offensive line should be able to get a push on them, and they did. I think Darren Evans is a very good running back, but he's the type of running back that needs a little room, and once he gets into the open field, he's a tough guy to tackle. Some running backs can create space on their own. Guys like Brandon Orr, the smaller, quicker guys. Darren Evans is a big bruiser. You know, he needs a little bit of a crease to get through there before he can start knocking out some free safeties like he did last week.
60 seconds, pick up the pace and tempo with CC, Chris Coleman, associate editor, TechSideline.com. CC, the health of Sean and Tyrod.
I think Tyrod Taylor's practicing a little more this week, but I'm still expecting Sean Glennon to be the starter on Thursday.
Keys to victory against the Hurricanes.
I think the keys to victory are not turning the ball over and establishing that running game and you know, mixing up your coverages and forcing those freshman quarterbacks to turn the ball over.
Is it Virginia Tech's biggest rival in the conference?
I would say it is right now. I don't think it's Virginia just right now, simply because Virginia Tech beats them pretty handily every year.
1-6. I agree with you. How about Boston College?
You know, there's another one. That one's building up rapidly. I think if Boston College can keep beating the Hokies, you know, every other year or something like that, then that could turn into a pretty good one.
CC, if your Thursday will allow it, perhaps we can pick your brain for 5 minutes or so, because you, when you come on here, you get my hamster wheel turning. Thank you for your time, CC.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Good man right there, guys. Associate editor, TechSideline.com. Chris Coleman is knows his football guy. You know your football, Chris. Kevin, give him love. We read the stuff every day, guys, on TechSideline.com. We'll continue the Foster chatter. We'll continue the Miami Hurricanes chatter. And we'll open up the phone lines at 866-356-ESPN, 866-356-3776. Make it rain. It's the Jerry Miller Show. It's the best in sports talk radio.